welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio, the Double L edition. Why does it sound like I'm echoing? Is that only me?
No, you sound fine to me.
Oh, okay, cool.
You're echoing to me.
Am I echoing to you?
You're not anymore. You did sound like you were underwater.
Oh, well, which is it, echoing or underwater? If I could echo underwater, I'd be even more talented than...
Like one of those iron lung things.
Damn. Well, you busted on me in person and on the Facebook.
Wow.
No.
Hey, testing 1, 2, 3. Jake, can you hear us? You are live.
Yes.
Jake?
No more echo. All right. Well, I didn't do anything. It just fixed itself. So.
I just want to see if we can get Jake. Jake, can you hear us? Mr. Brooks.
He might have muted himself. Anyway. Somebody said earlier, I think it was Matt, that he was having trouble with logging in, so hopefully there's not an issue tonight and everybody's having trouble getting in the show. Can always try, not that that's going to do any good for anybody that's having trouble now. We can also go through Blog Talk Radio and just type in the search there for Kayak Fishing Radio and then find the Tuesday night show and try through that way. And I've also heard from a few other callers or listeners, I should say, that using the Twitter instead of Facebook works a little better, so...
Hey, honey.
Yeah.
Everyone just checked that's with us. Not Jay yet. I'm sorry. My faux pas. I put my glasses on. Now I can read numbers.
That's why he wasn't answering then. Now ask him. Chuck, can you hear us?
I can hear you, sir.
There we go. Very good. All right. So far we have Mark Patterson from North Carolina joining. And we have our Monday night host, Redfish Chuck from Florida joining. If anybody from South Carolina and Georgia that would like to call in, we'll just go ahead and work right down the mid-Atlantic. So. But anybody can call in. If you like to call in, 714-816-4727. If you got anything you want to share, anything you want to tell us about last weekend, your fishing reports, or maybe you don't want to tell us where you fish, but we're always up for some info from anybody out there. And while I'm on info, I'm going to go right to our report from Philip Ruckert. And basically, Philip didn't give us so much of a fishing report this week as he gave us the wrap-up of the... Mark, you could even... Is it a year-long tournament? How long does the Yak Fish Tournament series last? All year?
You know, Phil is going to be more up-to-date on that than I am, actually. I'm so focused on myself, I can't even play in the other stand.
Oh, I got you. Well, anyway, it says series number 5. So they finished it up last weekend. It was held on Jordan Lake. 33 anglers competed. First place was Mr. Joey Sullivan. Mark cringed a little as he heard that name. Second place was Jason Scott. And third place was DJ Mislinski. If I pronounced that wrong, I'm sorry, DJ. Anyway, the angler of the year was determined by accumulated the most points out of the best three events. Angler of the year went to Joey Sullivan, who has won it twice out of the last 3 years. Joey's got it locked up in North Carolina, it sounds like.
There's Jay.
But because Joey is an organizer of the series, he has removed himself from eligibility to win the Angler of the Year prize, which was a Redfish 12 donated by Native Watercraft. Shelly Effred, and Philip wanted to make sure that I knew it's a dude, because he put that in parentheses. Shelly came in second as Angler of the Year and was awarded the kayak. And third place went to Jeff Lee. Just over $2,400 was raised for Heroes on the Water. Outstanding. And props go to Joey Sullivan, who also donated all of his winnings to the Heroes on the Water.
Wow.
Very cool. The organizers of the Carolina Yak Fish want to thank all the anglers who competed, Native Watercraft, Carolina Custom Rods, Hook One, and Joy B for enabling the series to be a success for Hal. So kudos to everybody down there that participated in the Yakfish series, Carolina Yakfish series, that is, and definitely hats off to Mr. Sullivan for everything he did there. And Shelly, the dude, congratulations on Angler of the Year award. So that sums it up. Thank you, Philip, for giving us those reports, and everybody over at Get Outdoors, which is in Park Patterson, neck of the woods. So thanks again, Philip.
Hey, honey.
Yes.
Jay is with us now.
Did you ask him if he was with us?
No, he's with us, and the number corresponds with his name, Jay.
Oh, very good. Welcome, Jay.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Uh-huh.
Good. You threw it all out of the loop. We had somebody, we got Virginia, North Carolina, Florida, and then you had to go all the way over to Texas. See, now you got more states we got to fill in. We were trying to get everybody in the line here. I was looking for South Carolina and Georgia, but now we need Alabama, so anyway. Very cool. All right, well, we got plenty of people on the line, so we're just going to take it as it came in, as in the order of calls.
Did you want to start with Jay, Mark?
Jay, are you at work? Do you need to get off the phone?
I mean, I can talk right now. I'm in the back office right now.
All right, playing low. We'll go ahead in case anybody wants to bomb a plane or anything, we'll go ahead.
Thanks, I appreciate you. I'll tell everyone where I work.
We'll make sure. So, okay, Jay, you have an upcoming event?
Yeah, I do. It's kind of a short notice, but Appomattox River Company has a wilderness assistance demo day. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's going to be at Sandy Bottom Nature Park over here in Hampton. The address is 1255 Big Bethel Road. We're going to be over there with Vic, and actually we got the wilderness rep. So if there's anything that y'all want to come out there and tell the actual, you know, company head here, the rep, Chuck Morse, will be out here to talk to people. We'll be out there from 4 to 6. He's actually bringing down the brand-new high seat as well as the AirPro seat because Wilderness System just came out with the two brand-new seats, one to kind of keep your butt a little bit drier, and then the other one, just a little bit higher, just so that way you get a little bit better angle when you're looking down in the water. So they'll both be out there. I'll obviously be out there, just to help out. I'm actually looking forward to seeing both seats because I haven't seen them in person yet. They'll also have the Tarpon Commander and both the Ride 135 and 115 that you can take out. The only catch is that you have to bring your PFD and paddle. I'm going to bring my PFD and paddle if someone wants to borrow it, but my size is a medium. So if you need something a little bit bigger, you might want to bring your own.
Very cool. So these new seats that you're talking about, what models are they available in while we got this?
Well, actually, I believe the AirPro seats are going to be coming in, factory on all the new boats coming in. So it's going to be nice just to be able to see that. But the high seat is going to be more for the ride. You can switch it in and out. So that way you have, again, it's a little bit more stable boat than the Tarpon series. So you can sit up in it, you can still be stable, and you can see down into the water. All the seats will be out there. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually going to try to get Allie to paddle the Ride 115 since I think that may be her next boat. So she'll be out there. Maybe you can get Chris to come out.
Yeah, well, some of us have jobs, too. So
yeah.
Make sure you rub Chuck's big bald head for me, all right? And tell him I said hello, though.
Yeah, you know I will. The other thing that's going on is they're actually working on a donation for the local food bank, the Peninsula Food Bank. So if you do bring some canned goods, I believe if you bring 3 canned goods to donate, I think you get free use of a boat for 30 minutes out there. So, we're trying to help out during the holidays.
Very nice. Very cool. All right, one more time. I'm trying to find. I know you sent it to me. Now I got it. The link to the event. So I'm going to put that link up, but go ahead and announce it again for people who might be listening in and do not have the chat room.
Okay.
So give me the information one more time, please.
Okay. It's the Appomattox River Company Wilderness Systems Demo Day. And it's going to be located at Sandy Bottom Nature Park. The address to Sandy Bottom Nature Park is 1255 Big Bethel Road, and that's in Hampton, Virginia. And we'll be there from 4 to 6, but if you end up showing up, you know, just before 6, we're not going to close up shop and leave you there. You know, we're more than willing to talk fishing, boats, anything else you want, for as long as people are there for.
Very cool. All right, well, I hope you guys have a good turnout. And yeah, like I said, if it wasn't on Thursday evening with having to work, we'd probably swing invite us, like I said. At least if nothing else, to bust chops with Chuck for a little while. But you go ahead and say hi for me, and we appreciate it. Stick around if you can, but like I said, I know you're at work, so I don't want to get you in trouble.
Let's reiterate, bring your canned goods to that event to benefit the Virginia Food Bank. Their need is pretty much year-round, not just around the holidays, so come on, people, bring your canned goods to that event.
Thank y'all, Chris. Thank y'all, guys. Y'all have a good show, and if Chris can just mute me so you can't hear me talking.
Okay.
Very cool. All right, Jay, thanks a lot. All right, very cool. Well, there you go for our local people. Go check out the new wilderness stuff over there at that event. I put the link up on the chat room. So, very cool. All right, what else we got going on? Redfish Chuck, how's it going down in Redfish Chuckville?
It's good, my friend. It's good. How are you?
Doing good. Doing real good. Back to the grind for the week, but we're doing well. Got some pretty weather up here for fall, so looks like another nice weekend until next week. Drop a little bit, but we're doing good. How's the fishing
good
down that way?
Fishing is phenomenal. Although we are now experiencing the winds from our latest tropical storm that's going to brush our coastline, as always, and looks like it's going to be blown out for the weekend to come and this whole week. But I did get to sneak out to our next boondoggle location, the No Motor Zone, the other day, and caught a slam while I was there, a redfish, trout, and snook. And we saw probably roughly about 100 redfish, all slot fish and bigger, and a ton of big giant trout. But I think with this approaching front, the front we just had came through, cooled us off a little bit, and the storm that's coming, it had them a little messed up. Put eyes on a bunch of fish, but couldn't get them to eat much. But it was good. Fishing in other areas has been even better. In deeper water locations, it's been good around the bridges. It's been good out in the port. It's been good. So, you know, fish are there to be caught. Just good times, man.
Very nice. Well, cool. Sounds like a good before it came. So hopefully once it gets through, you guys will be able to get back out there and get on them. Yeah, I'm not sure what direction that thing is going. We were talking about that today at work. Hopefully it'll blow out and not make it up this way.
Yeah. I think it looks like it's going to go in behind go across the Bahama Islands or in behind the islands and kind of curl its way out, which is what most of them do this time of year, it seems. But I did, however, put eyes on the biggest redfish I've ever seen in my entire life in the No Motor Zone the other day. I mean, this fish was giant. When it was pushing water towards me, I thought it was a school of smaller slot fish. That's how much water it was steaming ahead. And, man, when I finally got a really good look at it, I was standing up in the kayak, so I got a really good look at it. And my personal best out of the kayak's 52 inches, and this fish was bigger than that by probably another at least half a foot, if not even longer. So it was for sure a monster, man. But the reports I'm getting from guys that are fishing No Motor Zone this time of year, and it'll carry all the way through February, is the bigger the bait, the bigger the fish, so things are good.
Very nice. I just saw it's funny all this upcoming No Motor Zone stuff that we're going to have in February, but I just saw where Coastal Angler magazine has a contest now where you can win a trip down there with Flip Pallet. I'm not sure when the dates of the trip are, but the contest is going on now. You enter your name in to win a trip to fish that neck of the woods with Flip Pallet. So that would be pretty daggone cool to get the fish down there with one of the legends of fishing and fly fishing for sure. So anybody, you can go to Coastal Anglers Magazine's website, and they have a link on there for you to click and put your name in that. So, but yeah, it was just kind of ironic.
The gentleman that you'll be fishing with, along with Flip, is with Slouch himself. But yeah, to have an opportunity to share the bow with Flip Pallet on the Mosquito Lagoon, which basically he is the godfather of that area. I mean, he's lived up in Mims for a long time, which is right on the banks of the Mosquito Lagoon. And yeah, that would be pretty damn cool. We get to see Flip quite often here in Central Florida, and he's probably one of the nicest TV personalities that you'll ever meet. So that would be an awesome trip, you're right.
Yeah, very cool. Very neat. It would be nice if the trip was the same weekend as a Boondoggle, and maybe Chris or I won it, and we could come down and knock it all out at one time. Or not.
Huh?
Nothing.
What?
Never mind.
What?
Are you listening to the show?
Well, yeah. Patterson,
I'll
mute you here in a second. You don't get to
tell
your story.
She tuned me out.
It was funny. It was funny.
And just for the record, Bob Choi has joined us in the chat room this evening.
Is Bob Choi here too? All right. Very cool.
I would personally like to apologize to Bob. Chris told me your name was Bob, and I've been saying that.
I never said his name was Bob. We know Rob Choi forever and ever and ever. I don't know where on earth, and I know my English is not that bad, where you can take Rob for Bob. Let me tell you, one thing us Germans can do, we can roll our R's.
One letter.
That's right.
Probably because your head was still swimming around from getting drug up and down the reef that day from the redfish.
Well, is that my cue? Would you like me to tell the story? Because
you
I would
tell
like
your story. We got plenty of time left here. We got callers coming in left and right. So if you want to hold out, we can. Everybody who's listening, if you didn't tune in last week's show on Tuesday, Mark Patterson called in, and he gave us the lowdown on the Oak Island tournament. And then on the same night, Mr. Rob Choi, as we all know him here, and Kaya Kevin had called in. So Mark was trying to get some intel on catching these big reds that they were gunning for down there in North Carolina that were feeding him his lunch that day. So he got some intel. He got some intel from Rob Choi and Kayak Kevin, and he was going to go take it out on the water the following day and see what he could do with it. So, Mr. Patterson, did you learn anything that night on the show that was beneficial to you?
Well, I think the biggest tip was not to use flounder equipment. That was a real bonus right there, right away with flounder equipment. Because, again, we were originally out there flounder fishing, and we just kept getting smoked. We would hook. We didn't know what. We actually embarrassingly thought they were giant stingrays or something because we never saw them. We would just, bounce along, and we'd catch a flounder or two, and then all of a sudden the rod would go down and just stay down. And in the attempt to get it up, we would either straighten the little number four hook or other mistakes would happen, and it went poorly. And then we finally saw one of the guys that was in a very large boat. It looked much larger from the kayak, and actually get like a 47 or 50 inch. It was big, and quickly released it and let it go. And I thought, I bet that's problem here. We're outgunned. And then of course Jerry Dilsaver was kind enough to also give me a pretty good ribbon about it. And so then I was so fortunate to have Rob and Kevin on the show that night, and the upgrade to the we couldn't find here in North Carolina at our little local tackle shop. I think Kevin recommended number 10 circle hook. Is that correct, Mark?
Yeah. I think. Well, no, that seems a little big. Maybe he did. Kevin's
well,
in there.
Well, whatever it was, they looked at me like I was not bright. And so we ended up with number sixes, which worked well. I'm sure tens would have worked well, too. But and then we got the 80-pound. They didn't have 80-pound leaders, so we just bought 80-pound line and obviously made those up. And I got up early the next day and threw the cast net, caught a bunch of big mullet. And back out we went and floated around for about 30 minutes. We couldn't get through the ribbon fish. We'd drop the bait down, and at about 10 or 12 feet, the ribbon fish would just take it, and then they were not fun to take off. And then I remembered what Captain Jerry had said. He said if that happens, just paddle away from them, and finally dropped it down, and then dragged the bait on the bottom back to where the drum were, and that worked well. And after about being drug around for quite some time, I finally got it. The video is kind of embarrassing. Luckily, Spencer Cook was very merciful and edited out some of the "oh my gosh" comments, and that's really big comments. And finally got it to the boat. I dropped it a little the first time, trying to get it out. I didn't expect it to be so heavy when I grabbed it. By the leader. Kevin was a good tip with that to leader it in. And then I reached in and I could not get my hand. I didn't want to, the first time I tried to put my hand like right behind where the gill goes into the body to gently pull it in, and that went poorly. And then so finally I just grabbed it by the lower lip and kind of cradled it and slid it in. And that worked better the second time. Thank goodness. because like I say, when the first miss went by, the circle hook held, and so we got it in. It was right at 41 inches, which is by far the biggest one I've ever caught. And but I owe
it
all.
The picture up in the chat room so everybody can see your cheesy smile with your big red fish.
And so it was doubly sweet because Joey Sullivan, the great North Carolina kayak angler that he is also leading our NCKFA online tournament. And if my fish will hold up, I will win Redfish Month, and then it's a battle into trout, which I'm a horrible trout fisherman. So if you got any trout specialists, this is working out pretty good for me. So
we're going to start charging, Patterson.
Well, I told you, you can stay with us when you come down to the fishing show. You can stay here, hang out at the Patterson Estates. We'll feed you. We'll give you free honey. We can make this work out for you.
Okay. Well, where are you going to do your trout fishing? What part of the – you going right back in that neck of the woods that you always go to?
Well, for me, really, I the only place that I'm aware of this is going to work for me is Fort Fisher. That's kind of, for our areas, as close to Florida as I think we're going to ever get. It's a really unique fishery down there. That's where we're having our Specs and Spots tournament next month down there to raise some money for Wounded Warriors. And that's November the 10th, so I'll already be there then. So I'm going to try to go a day early.
The Marine Corps birthday. That's a good day to have a Wounded Warrior event, November 10th, Marine Corps birthday. Hoorah.
And Jerry Dillsaber, I'll give him all the credit in the world. He came up with Specs and Spots, kind of like Stars and Stripes. That's kind of how the little logo looks like. And so we're gonna do that down there. I will already be there, and I'm just trout. The only time I catch trout is by accident. So that's what I kind of like about this online thing is you have to fish for fish you normally don't, try to catch. So
well, I don't know I don't know that neck of the woods, and I don't know if there's anybody in the chat room that's from that area that fishes down there that would like to chime in to maybe give you help. But you got to remember the first thing about trout fishermen is they're usually pretty good about keeping their mouth shut. I know I've said it on this show before, and I say it all the time, but if I'm ever going to rob a bank, I always say I'm going to rob it with a good trout fisherman because they can keep their mouth shut. So that might be your first problem right there, is trying to get speckled trout advice. You got better luck asking for shuttle plans or something like that. I had to build your own space shuttle. But if you were going to, one of the things I would recommend, because I know the guy well, but I don't know if you're going to try to get down there and fish beforehand, Atlantic Beach area, you're familiar with that? How far is that from you?
It's from Greensboro, it's all between 3 and 3 hours and 40 minutes. Matt Lamb
down there chasing tails. He'd probably be a good guy to point you in the right direction around that Moorhead City area, Atlantic Beach. So if you were going to try to get down there before your spot and tail tournament that you got coming up or whatever it was, so that wouldn't be a bad idea to get in touch with Matt. I'm trying to be coy on telling you that that would be kind of right now guy to go call, if that makes any sense to you.
As I'm winking
on the radio, I know you can't see that, but.
Well, what I want to know is, other than the main thing that's been killing me all week is, did you go see the beaver?
Did I what?
Did you go see the beaver? The beaver and the alligator.
Yeah, I put pictures up on Facebook. You didn't see them. I put the alligator chasing the beaver. Yeah, that was.
No,
like
I've been on vacation. I just got. Oh, we just got back in town yesterday. I'm still unpacking. So,
right,
okay.
Well,
so there are videos. There's a picture and a video, or just a picture?
No, how can I video a stuffed alligator and a stuffed beaver? They're not going to do
anything.
Oh,
see, I was.
Do you think it was a live alligator in a store chasing a beaver?
No. I thought it was like a little pond, and they had the alligator was on like a little track. And then, like, it's Universal. And the beaver would enter the water.
Wow. You're eating too much of your own honey, dude. You got to slow down.
No, that would be cool because, you know, the alligator would chase around the pond and then the beaver would, you know.
I don't know where you live, but we got the PETA headquarters right here in our town.
Oh, man, I know.
That wouldn't last very long with PETA here. No, but
well,
I did some pictures up, and I was going to get to that in a little while, that I did go to the grand opening of Green Tops' new location in Richmond, Virginia. And if anybody has not been to that store yet, you owe it to yourself to swing by there. It's pretty nice. It's not like, you know what's kind of nice about it? It's still a tackle hunting shop, but on steroids is what I described it as. It's not like Bass Pro with all the mounts and all the little gadgets and stuff in there. It's just a tackle shop, hunting shop, but it definitely is a very nice store. Got everything you could probably possibly want up there, so it was pretty cool. Vanderkicken's here.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, yeah, I did put pictures up for you, Mark, so you got to go dig back through the archives there and see the beaver and the alligator, but I'm sorry it wasn't a live alligator in the store with
No, I don't want a live alligator. I just want it to be like on a little track, like a stuffed alligator, and the track's underwater, see? And then you can see. I'll draw it up when we're done.
Okay, well, when you open Patterson's tackle shop, you can do that.
You can go put that up on Green Top's wall and suggest that to them to see if they want to put that kind of work into it.
Okay, I will. Thank you very much.
I would like to give a special shout out to Debbie Munderheim for those awesome, awesome, incredible
cupcakes. We're getting away from cake and cupcakes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, now, come on. Those were the bomb. That was the perfect finish off to Saturday.
Yeah, we had a very productive weekend up here. The fishing has been
on fire.
Yeah, it's been pretty doggone good up around here. I was trying to get Patterson to come up this way for his trout, but he's not allowed to leave the state of North Carolina, something that his parole officer and him have worked out, so.
That's a little bit of butter. She said 6'6". That's not a little bit of butter, Tom. That's a lot of butter. He puts just a little bit of butter. Yeah. I never did tell Amy how many sticks of butter are in there, and I doubt she's going to download this podcast. She probably doesn't want to know how many sticks of butter were in there.
Say goodnight to Rob Choi, Marge. Say goodnight, Rob. Rob's leaving the room. Rob has left the building. Yeah, fishing around here has been pretty good. As everybody can probably see locally, I just saw Kayak Kevin put up a picture tonight of a speckled trout. Rob Choi put up some nice pictures of the trout. Chris and I got into some nice reds and trout on Saturday, a couple on Sunday. I don't know. I think I said it last week. I thought fall was going to be good around here, and it definitely is holding its own, so it's only going to get better, I believe. But yeah, the trout's been pretty good. Somebody's put they're going. Rob Lee said he's going trouting tomorrow afternoon. See, Mark, you got to make your way up here.
Well, maybe I'll come up there and practice, and then get the skill down. I think I worked the bait too fast. I grew up bass fishing, and I see all these trout guys just out there freezing. Number one, I hate cold. And number two, they seem to be moving kind of slow, and that's a problem for me.
Well, yes, trout typically like it on the drop, for one thing. You get a lot more of your hits on a drop. Another thing is, if you're catching a lot of corn cob trout, then you need to move. The bigger trout, at least around here, hold out by themselves. You aren't going to catch 10 big trout all in the same area. You're going to catch a big trout here. You're going to have to move a little bit, catch a big trout there. The spikes, they're all pretty much together. They stay schooled up. So definitely going to have to search for those spots. Ambush points, I mean, they feed and fish a lot like, I don't want to say like a redfish, but you find them in the same kind of areas. So like I said, I don't know your neck of the woods, but you got to be looking for the same type of structure that you kind of look for a lot for redfish, ambush points, like I said, drop-offs, ledges. And do you have a good grassy area down there with potholes, like grass and sandy areas, little potholes?
We do. Yes, we do.
That'd be places I target those. I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, a lot of my bigger trout always come on top water. So I like the top water when I'm targeting big trout, like she-dog size, mirror lure she-dog, top pup, things like that. Also, got to match kind of what's going on in the water. So if you have a lot of, mullet swimming around, try to get your patterns more like mullet patterns, bunker patterns.
That's another problem I have, too, though, because our area here, and it's just because, I didn't grow up at the coast, so our area here is so tidally influenced. The water's moving so fast, I'm not good at really working a topwater lure in that fast-moving water. I'm always seem to be behind it or drag. I mean, that's just tricky. When you're working a topwater, are you in your kayak floating at the same – I mean, obviously you're in your kayak – your kayak and your lure, is everything floating in tandem at the same speed, or are you just going to areas – where the water's not moving that swift? Like, that's my problem.
I was getting ready to say, they're not going to like a fast-moving water, because remember, again, I said they're ambush feeders. So if you're looking for structure areas and where if the current's real fast, they're not going to, because once they come out in that fast current, they become victim of that same speed current. So they're going to be in areas where they can kind of hold up and stage and get out of that current. Kind of an eddy in the water. That's why I like those grassy areas with the potholes. They'll literally sit right on the edge of that grassy pothole and wait for their food to come by them and, jump out, so to speak, and get their meal out of there. So, yeah, if it's ripping current, then I don't do well at all. You got to have something that they can get on top of their food with. So I wouldn't be, top water, no. I mean, my biggest trout to date was on a top water and a foot and a half of water. So, I mean, and it wasn't moving at all. It was dead slack, and it was also the opposite of what all the naysayers say. You never throw top water when it's sunny out. There wasn't a cloud in the sky, and it was 11 o'clock in the afternoon. So if the fish is hungry and they see it and it gets in their face, they're going to take it. I don't believe that about always the brighter, sunnier days. Doesn't always hold up. So, Chuck, you still there? Chuck?
Yeah.
You got anything you would add for your neck of the woods? Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm paying attention. Listen, dude.
I didn't know if you were in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm in the chat room and stuff. No, Big Trout. Well, for Florida, I don't know if it's different. I mean, you kind of – let me put you this way. Last winter changed my whole perspective on Big Trout because I was always under the impression that Big Trout were kind of solitary fish and we wouldn't find them in big groups or at least small pods. And last year was my most epic year I've ever had for trout. I caught more trout this past winter over 30 inches than I've ever seen in my entire life. And, but, you know, Florida East Coast trout are known to be giants. And as you saw when you were down here with me in the aquarium that is the Indian River, there's times where four or five of them will lay together, up to a dozen of them will lay together, and they all look to be about 15 to maybe 19 inches because there's always one laying in the group that's pushing 30.
Right.
Every fish in that group will be over 20 inches. It's just because there's one that's so much bigger than the rest of them that make them look small. So but for me, the top water plugs, as you hit it on the head, I mean, I love throwing top water plugs for big trout. Spook Junior is my go-to bait down here. In trout color for whatever reason. I crushed them this past winter on that bait, and I plan on doing the same this winter. But for us, we're not dealing with tide. We're not dealing with current. We're sight fishing to most of these big trout. You can see them from a ways out. And a well-placed shad tail with a jig head run across the sand in front of their face will get them 98% of the time. You can watch them eat it, so it's a lot of fun. And you're right, though. If you're catching pink trout, then you got to go somewhere else, man, because that's just they're not in the right zone. For us, a foot and a half to 2 foot of water is about premium for big giant trout, and even shallower than that at times for the even bigger trout. So, yeah, it's a bit different from what you guys are used to up there, but when you come down here in February, if you have never caught a trout over 25 inches, you've got a very good possibility of breaking your personal best down here because there's a lot of them that live in the no-motor zone that will push that 30-inch mark and be, you know, a few inches longer than that. So,
well, we got to get Mark one this month in North Carolina. We don't have any North Carolina folks chiming in to help him out. I don't know what to say. The other good thing is, I don't know, down there where we fish, I didn't see it, but in North Carolina, I'm sure Mark is like creek mouse and little places where the on an outgoing tide, set yourself up too. That's one of the things I like to look for, where the tide's going to flood out of a back little area, cuts, and, you know, does that make sense, Mark?
It does, and I've seen guys use those popping corks, and I can't figure that out either. How far from the bottom of the cork do you put your little lure? How far, what do you... You just vary the
depth.
Depends,
one day it depends on the depth of the water you're fishing in. But, I mean, like, typically here, we've, like, 18 inches, no more than 2 foot. So you got to be fishing in, like, 4 foot of water, 3 foot of water. But the whole premise behind a popping cork is you're almost doing, like, a topwater bait. You're calling attention to that cork, but that suspended, whether you're using live bait, cut bait, artificial, underneath the cork. So the trout is keying on that top water, but it's mimicking the dying fish or the sound that a shrimp makes. Some people say, we don't have shrimp here like they do down in Florida down south. So the trout kind of hang down, the bait's hanging down below that cork. So the trout or the reds too it works with is going to come from the underneath to take that meal that it hears, the cork, but on its way up, there's something hanging in its face. So why go all the way to the top? They take the whatever it is you have hanging. Does that make sense? Did I describe it kind of hard on the radio?
It does. And that's
your popping thing. The whole thing with the popping cork is just that you're just trying to mimic I always tell people that if you ever want to, like, understand it, go to a tackle shop with a big minnow tank in there, and you start to see the fish that are about ready to give up the ghost. They're usually floating on top of the water, and they're making a little pop. They're just kind of giving up the last bit of their life there, and they're just popping along the top of the water. Well, that happens with all of them, bigger mullet or wherever. They start to kind of make that same kind of action on the top of the water. So that's what's causing the attention to it. And then, like I said, hanging underneath. Chris does real well at the popping cork. We have the shrimp hooks, and we do it all underneath, either artificial and or gulp hanging underneath. So that's why the main thing, though, is to have your leader line set to where it's not dragging the bottom. You want it suspended in the area, so it'd be beneficial if you kind of fish the same depth with it the whole time, or deeper,
okay.
But don't get too shallow, because if you get too shallow, it's just kind of laying on the bottom, which defeats the purpose.
Okay.
So, and then you just kind of, you know, you just pop it a couple times, let it sit, pop, pop. I mean, Chris has corks that are beat to crap because the fish literally hit the cork. I mean, they'll come up, but, yeah, the trout just tear the crap out of the cork.
But more so the slimmer one than the big bobber. You know, the big boppy. The big boppy,
right.
They don't hit that so much, but the little slim cigar looking one, the pink one, they hit that a lot.
Yeah, and the corks, you can kind of change, I mean, with the water conditions too. Like she's talking about the bigger ones are better, like if it's a little rougher, just to be a little noisier. Than the, you don't want it too noisy either because, you know, remember trout feed off of sound. That's why. How many lures are out there on the market that are trout lures have some kind of rattle in them or some kind of noise-making thing? Because they hear that little rattle in the store holding the lure sounds a whole lot louder underwater, as you know if you've ever been in the pool and people are making noise once you get underneath the water. It's pretty loud. So if it's too loud, it's not going to, you know, you want something that's why different topwater lures have different size rattles in them, you know, use them. Louder ones if it's rougher, kind of more quieter lure rattles if it's not so rough, slicker conditions. So, any of that help?
Wait a minute, honey. Is that the reason why you put the big one on instead of the little slim one on Saturday?
I did that for Sunday because Sunday it was blowing out of the north and rougher. The water was rougher than it was on Saturday.
That gives me a different. Because see, I was basically just kind of using it as a raft for my little lure under it, and occasionally it would pop it. I was hesitant to work it too much because I didn't realize. Maybe that explains a lot. I'll be a little bit more aggressive working that popping cork this time around. And I think I'd had the bait too far below. I had it like 3 feet below there.
Oh, I never have them that long. Never.
Yeah. You got to get out there and fish. That's what you got to do, Mark. You got to.
Well, I'm going to work on that. I really am. I really am going to do that.
Very cool. Well, any other questions? Anybody got anything to ask for tonight? Anything going on out there? We're getting close, man. That time went fast. Anyone? Bueller? See, the
Bueller?
Cake thing was going there for a while.
Hey. I can't release details yet, but there's going to be a very, very cool opportunity for a select few boondogglers to be able to launch in a very cool location. At the boondoggle. That's all I have to say about that right now. And details are not going to be released until December, no matter how badly you ask me.
Tease.
Say what?
Then why say something? Tease.
Because you have to tease. Because it's good to tease. Because if you tease and people are like, hey, well, what the hell's going on? You know, and then when you finally break it, it's like a big relief. Oh, man, that's awesome. Yeah, it does sound cool. We definitely need to get involved in it. All I'm saying is it's going to be a lottery system where if you're interested in possibly going to this very cool location, which hardly anybody gets to fish, then just put your name down on the list. We'll make a list on the Facebook page for the boondoggle,
and we will randomly draw a few names. And if you're lucky enough to do this, it'll save you a very long paddle. That's all I'm saying.
Of
you can figure it out if you want to try.
All the radio show hosts automatically are in, right?
something like that, maybe. We'll take care of it.
Point, you know.
Hey, Chip will fill that Friday night slot again now.
Fill it.
You're gonna have people trying to get in, Chip.
That's funny. We've got we do have some really cool things that I've already kind of got lined up. We've got a bunch of different kayak manufacturers who are going to be there. I know Woody said that he was planning on coming back down for this boondoggle as well, I think. So, but if anybody has any friends that are in the industry, they want to come down maybe and showcase their goods, we're going to allow vendors to come down and kind of set up-ish. We want you to come down and hang out, and we want these kayak manufacturers to come out and hang out. First of all, to boondoggle. Second of all, to show off their goods. So the emphasis is on hanging out, fishing, paddling, whatever. And then as we're kind of sitting around hanging out in the afternoon or in the evening hours, if they want to try and showcase their goods or whatever, at that time it's fine. We've got roughly, I think, 10 different vendors who have already said that they want to come down. Donations for the door prizes, as we shall call them, have already started to flow in. So, it's going to be awesome, man. I think last time I talked to Cars, there was a pile of spots that were already taken. But there's more room than I think we can fill. So keep spreading the word, and let's make this thing pretty crazy.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the boondoggle? Like,
here, hang on. I'll hit the button because Chip just said. Okay, here we go.
Boondoggle! Boondoggle. Boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Now you didn't apparently see the new button, Chris.
Which new button?
Go down, scroll on down, and you'll see it says Ricky Bobby Boondoggle.
That was the button. No, wait. Okay.
Boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Come out President's Day weekend to Cars Park in Titusville, Florida for family fun, great fishing in the no motor zone, and hang out with a bunch of crazy kayakers.
We're going freaky! Yeah!
Put your clothes back on, Chuck. For more information, please visit yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
So is that what you meant by showing off the goods, Chuck? You're going to go streaking down there, then I'm thinking about pulling out of the boondoggle.
No. I will not be streaking. The boondoggle, simply put, my friend, it's the best time that you'll ever have with your clothes on.
Mark, I'll send you an invitation.
Yeah, it's the No Motor Zone. For those of you that are listening to the show tonight that don't know what the No Motor Zone is, here on the east coast of Florida, we're very blessed. We have an area that is completely shut down to motorized vessels. You can't have a trolling motor. You can't have a motor attached to the back of the boat and pull it out of the water. Nothing. No combustible engines or electric engines anywhere north of this particular area, all the way up to a bridge. And so it's basically like Jurassic Park. Most of these fish have never even seen a lure, let alone a kayaker. Most of them are born and raised up into the areas of the space center that are completely shut off from human activity. So you'll find schools of redfish that are pushing 50 inches and bigger by the hundreds. You'll find black drum that are pushing 60 pounds and bigger by the hundreds. You'll find big giant theater trout. Like I said before, your average size trout in the No Motor Zone is quite a bit bigger than other areas. It's not unheard of to catch them over 30 inches, but most of them are going to be around that 22 to I'd say probably about 27-inch range. Plenty of small trout. There's a bunch of other species to be had there as well. So it's a lot of fun. It's really interesting. It's a really cool backdrop because you have all the launch towers from the Space Center and all that kind of thing to look at while you're out there paddling around. And the fishing can be really, really easy and really stupid at the same time, or it can be really frustrating and the craziest things you'll ever see in your entire life. Like, you'll be sitting on a bar, and you'll have a school of 100-plus redfish that are all 40-plus-inch fish, and they'll swim right at you, not eat a thing, but part you like the Red Sea, and then just, like, swim past you within inches of your kayak. So, you know, there's days where it's banner, and there's days where it's just really kind of frustrating. But, man, it's an amazing place to be. The place we're camping is Cars Park. Cars Park is on federal property. It's closed to members only. If you're a retired military veteran, then you can buy a membership pass to go to Cars Park if you should ever come back down to Central Florida. They don't allow camping at Cars Park unless you are a member, except for this particular boondoggle. They've allowed for us to come in and camp there as non-members. So it's really kind of a unique situation, a unique opportunity to be able to camp on the banks of what is probably the most popular and probably the most prestigious piece of water that we have left in Florida that's truly protected. So I wouldn't miss this trip if I were anybody listening to the show. That's all I got. I'm off my soapbox. Good night.
All right. Well, it's time for us to take all the soapboxes down anyway. We're getting close to the hour. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. I do want to say, if we I noticed tonight, I was looking, we're 5 likes away on a First Landing Kayak Fishing is hitting 200. We're giving away a t-shirt, so it's getting a little easier now for you to have a chance if you want a t-shirt from First Landing Kayak Fishing. But anyway, we need 5
what?
More likes over there.
It's a long sleeve t-shirt. It's getting colder out there.
Yeah, long sleeve t-shirt. But anyway, I just looked tonight. I didn't realize we were already up to 195, so... If you haven't liked us yet over there at First Landing Kayak Fishing on Facebook, go give us a like. That would be awesome. That's about all I got. Mr. Patterson, good luck to you on your trout quest. I don't know what else to tell you. I kind of thought I alluded and hinted enough that you need to go see Matt Lamb at Atlantic Beach. Again, Matt Lamb at Atlantic Beach. You got that, Mark?
I've written it down every time you've said it, so I'm
okay.
Ready to...
Feel free to call.
Hey, Mark Patterson, I send you an invite.
Fantastic. Now, are you guys driving down or are you flying down?
We're driving.
We got a whole Virginia caravan hitting 95. You'll feel us going down the highway, shaking Greensboro.
Well, we might have to caravan on this.
Well, you just jump in, get on 40, and come on over, and we'll tie in somewhere on 95. Or whatever you got to do. I don't know your next
word. Mr. Vanderheiden just said Tidewater Howe is 35 away from hitting 400. Come on, y'all. You can like Tidewater Howe on Facebook.
I'm on it. Look at Patterson. He's got a busy, almost your bedtime, Mark. You better get on to Facebook. You got a lot to do tonight.
Where do you think I'm having this conversation from?
TMI.
Whoa. Okay. With that happy note and brain burning, we're going to wrap this up. Again, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Don't forget, tune in the rest of the week. Tomorrow night, Mid-Atlantic with Mark Wheeler. Thursday night with the Godfather himself, Chip Gibson. And then bring it back around next week for Redfish Chuck, who you've heard from tonight. If there's anything else, I don't know. I think I've about got it all. Get out there. Get on the water, especially for our Mid-Atlantic gang here, everybody in the Tidewater area. It's on right now. Striper picking up. They're hearing some better reports of Striper. And it seems like they're still better from Monitor Merrimack North. James River Bridge, Monitor Merrimack. A little more consistent bite anyway. Tons of bluefish out the big islands. So there's definitely trout to be had. Elizabeth River's full, it seems like, from the locks all the way on out to the HRVT. So get on the water, have a good time, be safe. What else we got, Chris? Anything I missed?
Remember the wilderness event? Contact Appomattox in Hampton for more information. Our friend Jay and Allie Brooks will be at that event on Thursday from 4 to 6. And bring a canned good to benefit the Virginia Beach Food Bank. Not the Virginia Beach, Virginia Food Bank. I'm sorry.
There you go. All right. Well, good night, everyone. Again, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Mark Patterson,
get us out of here.
Mark Patterson is no longer allowed on the show. He laughs about everything.
Well, you're funny.
Anyway,
funny.
People.
How much funny? Funny.
People, remember, safety, safety, safety. It's getting a little cooler out there. Check your equipment. Take your children fishing. They're our next generation angler. Tight lines, no matter where you're fishing.